Hello and welcome to The Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend Pavanar Chawla, and with me today is somebody I am so proud and delighted that she's here with us today. My expert, distinguished guest, one of the stars, one of the stellar professionals across creative and production in the sound and vision space in India. Mona Shetty, president of Sound and Vision India. Mona, welcome to the episode.
Thank you so much, Pavan. It's so nice to be speaking to you after all this time.
1995, was it, when we started dubbed shows in India for the first time?
Yeah.
With your amazing mother leading the whole thing. And
yes,
you, young lady, were like all over the place. And you were already a director, I think.
Yeah, I was helping her because, you know, this was a new space for her. So for her to manage things alone was difficult.
No, it was amazing. It was amazing, Mona. Thank you for being on the episode. And I'd also like to thank Elizabeth in your marketing team for making this episode possible.
Thank you.
So let me tell a little more about you to my listeners, Mona. Mona is not only the most respected professional and creative leader in the sound and vision space in India, but I know her to be the single most experienced and diversely experienced professional in the sound or the voice space in our country. Mona must have been a chit of a little girl when she started working at age 5 with her illustrious mother Leela Ghosh, the original high priestess and queen of the voice industry in India, as a producer, creative artist and enabler who gave the creative voice industry in India some of its best and most well-known voices and ushered in a very professional and benevolent style of working in the voice industry even in its early nascent years. Any talented young voice professional or director who entered the nurturing space under Leela Ghosh's wings was assured of great learning, care and growth. Oh, and a lot of fulfilling hard work. Ask me about that. In fact, before I return to the profile of this wonderful professional sitting opposite me smiling away, Mona, allow me to dwell on and pay the most respectful homage to the peerless Leela Ghosh. Leela Ghosh founded Sound and Vision India in around 1993. She was a professional singer, English teacher and an advertising and tourism professional who shot to fame as one of the finest dubbing directors in the country due to her deep knowledge of Indian culture and the performing arts. Leela Ji, as she was always very respectfully called, was a celebrated singer, having released several albums in a variety of Indian languages and having performed live all over the world. Leela Ji's knowledge of multiple languages, talent for adaptation, creativity, attention to detail and extreme professionalism led to the birth of Sound and Vision India. And I must tell you that all those amazing peerless qualities that she had, Mona has taken absolutely to the next level. But from translation to adaptation to casting and direction, Leela Ji did it all and single-handedly developed these services into an art form. The love and respect that Leela Ji garnered over the years through her hard work and dedication has seen Sound and Vision India through the growth it has achieved over the years. So, for all her incomparable accomplishments, please join me in saluting the late Leela Ghosh. Mona, you must be super proud.
Yeah, I can never hear this enough. I mean, it's so heartwarming to hear this, and it's such an honor and privilege for me to have been able to, you know, take her work forward. When she passed away so suddenly in 2012, I wasn't really involved on the business side of things very much with her because I was a voice actor and I was freelancing with so many producers and directors and doing my own work as a freelance voice actor. But, you know, the kind of the love and respect that she had, the kind of legacy that she had left behind, it could not be ignored. And the kind of faith that her clients had, I think I inherited that to some extent. So if I've inherited the faith and the clientele, then there's, you know, absolutely no choice. I mean, you have to
do it and do it better.
Take that step forward and, you know, rise to the occasion pretty much.
And you did that so beautifully. So, Mona, let me also very quickly complete now my introduction of you, Mona. So, my wonderful guest today, the smiling, laughing first lady of voice-driven sound and vision, if I may say that, is Mona Shetty, Leela Ghosh's daughter. Mona is a well-known voice actor, voice coach and dubbing director, having started out, as I just said, as a child voice at the age of 5. Mona speaks several languages and has been the voice of numerous national and international ad campaigns and also dubbed for several actresses such as, hold your breath now, I'm going to rattle off some names.
They may not be too happy about that, let me tell you.
Okay, so Rani Mukherjee, Kajol, Bipasha Basu, Katrina Kaif, Jacqueline Fernandez, Cameron Diaz, Angelina Jolie, Mila Jovovich, Kate Beckinsale, Deepika Padukone, Nargis Fakhri and many more in their most memorable films. Mona turned director under her mother's guidance at the age of 18 and since then, she has helped adapt and direct the language versions of several high-profile titles along with her mother. Mona took over the reins of Sound and Vision India after her mother passed away in 2012. And under Mona's leadership, SVI has grown from under 20 to almost 100 employees across 4 offices in India and has established itself as a premium localization company by virtue of its capacity, infrastructure, technical and creative excellence, and professional project management. Why did I read all of this? Because all the young professionals and even the best marketers need to know that if you want to start with the best provider, then Sound and Vision India and Mona Shetty and her team are the place to go to. You will never, never go wrong. Right, and I know that ever since 1995 and I've been seeing them grow amazingly and we'll bring all of that growth out in our conversation with Mona. But in the 28 years so far, Mona, Sound and Vision has developed into one of the finest localization companies in the country. They've localized hundreds of hours of content for theatrical release, TV, OTT platforms, for content owners and broadcasters all over the world. And SVI is at the forefront of the localization industry with its ever-evolving dubbing, subtitling, descriptive audio and access services. So, Mona, I want to say that it is the considered view of not just yours truly, that is me, but I dare say most industry veterans and professionals that Mona Shetty is like the single most important leader in the space. And you made that title your own after learning with the original first lady of Indian voice industry, your respected mother, and now the late Mrs. Leela Ghosh. So, Mona, before we talk about Sound and Vision and all the great work it's done and, you know, the numbers and the top lines and, you know, the number of shows and films and what have you that you all have accomplished over so many years, 30 years now, I want you to tell us about EGA, Entertainment Globalization Association. It's a global association and they came out with an amazing list that has, you know, that has had Mona and Sound and Vision India do India proud. It is the first time. And Mona has not spoken about it, although it's come out just a little recently. It's been out, but she is circumspect. She doesn't chase glory. But I think this is a matter of pride for everybody in the voice industry, in the sound industry, and for India. So Mona, please now, don't hold back. Tell us everything about the EGA.
So yeah, this is definitely very, very exciting. And it's a great honor and privilege. So the Entertainment Globalization Association is an association that was formed about a year ago to kind of provide some kind of an umbrella to localization professionals like myself, companies and individuals. Everybody who is part of the localization industry can be a part of the association, either in an individual capacity or as a company. And they have been coming out with many, many initiatives to kind of bring the industry together, to spread awareness, to, you know, raise the profile, to raise the level of understanding and the level of respect within the industry. Since we are now seeing how localization is contributing to the growth of so many broadcasters and content owners. So they have been coming out with a magazine called The Reteller, and which comes, of course, to the members at the moment. Okay. And interestingly, they came up with a list of the top 100 localization professionals worldwide.
From across the world.
From across the world. And this list was prepared by voting of all the members.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was pleasantly surprised to see that I was number 21 in the list of leaders, localization leaders.
Wonderful, so. Wonderful. And I'm not surprised at all, but it's a matter of great pride for India. Wonderful. Good job. Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Amazing. Really nice.
And
really
it's very exciting for where we are at with localization today, you know, because the way this market is growing, the way our company has grown, the kind of growth we have seen over the past 5 years, in spite of having been in the business for almost 30 years, we haven't seen this kind of exponential growth the way we have seen in the last 5 years. So it's a very exciting time to be in this industry. We're finally getting amazing opportunities. We're finally getting a lot of recognition because, you know, there are now companies like Disney, like Netflix, like a few of the broadcasters and content owners now are giving us credit, due credit.
Wonderful.
So that is huge for us, you know, for somebody who's always been in the background.
Nameless.
And, you know, as a voice actor, you've always been nameless because, you know, everybody wants to make sure that no one knows that the actor didn't do their own voice. So I'm usually told, you will keep this confidential, won't you?
And you will sign here to ensure that you do, right?
And you know, we've lived with that all our lives, even though we've battled it to some extent, saying, you know, I mean, come on, I own my work. How can I not claim ownership to my own work, my hard work, and claim some form of recognition for what I do? And I don't know, it's kind of a gray area between what is the objective of what you're doing and the recognition of what you're doing. Because obviously the objective is to blend in and be unnoticed. You know, at the same time, nobody wants to do work that is never known about, talked about, or recognized.
You can't keep the sun behind the cloud for too long. No, Mona, you have to shine out.
Right.
And you have done it so brilliantly for Indian voice and sound and vision. Amazing, amazing. Fabulous. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So now, Mona, let's talk about SVI, Sound and Vision India. What's the kind of work, numbers, top lines? I mean, you spoke about localization. Look at the Marvel titles, for instance. I'm just plucking one item from the back of my recent memory. 25 odd films they must have made in all, and you've done about 20 or 23 of them, right, in the localizing in India. It's amazing.
Yes, definitely over 20 of them.
Right.
It started with my mother having dubbed a lot of the Spider-Man films, a lot of the Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, and Avengers, and all those films. And then, of course, I took over after she passed. And that's been a fantastic journey too. And there have been many such franchises. It's not just the Marvel franchise, the X-Men franchise, the Fast and Furious franchise, the James Bond franchise, the Ice Age franchise. I mean, there's just so many. I can't possibly name them all. But yes, it's been a very exciting journey, and we've had the honor and the privilege to work on some great titles and some great content.
And if you go and look at the box office of all of those movies in India, amazing stuff.
Yeah,
because
everybody
connected.
Yes.
You are so genuine. And, you know, in the past, when there was some slightly newer or slightly raw directors, and when Hindi dubs of, say, some international cartoons used to happen, "Ye kya kar rahe ho?" it would extend just to fill that lip sync.
Yeah.
But you guys came and completely cleaned up that act. We don't see that kind of dubbing. You only see good stuff. We don't see a translation. But
yes,
you take the essence and then you rewrite it so beautifully.
Yes, you know, I tend to feel, I'll speak for myself here, I tend to feel that translation is a bit of a bad word in our space.
Yes.
Because I'd like to think that what we do is adaptation. You know,
lovely.
We take the original work and we try to make it equally meaningful in another language. So we're pretty much producing the entire audio of that work in another language.
You're transplanting the ethos into an Indian
language. And that's not just words.
No,
translation
sure,
is about words.
Sure,
this is about translating characters and emotions and a story and adapting it for a new audience and making it relevant for them.
Wow. Okay. Top lines. How many hours, how many thousands of hours of dubbing have you done so far?
You know, it's, you know, in this many years and since, you know, we've not really been good at data keeping in that sense. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to say, but I would say we should have around, I mean, my team tries to keep track of these things. So they have kind of numbers like we have over 27,000 hours of dubbing across over 1,600 titles.
Amazing. Subtitling?
Thousands of hours of subtitling. Again, thousands of titles there. Audio description, which is for the visually impaired.
Okay, okay.
So it basically explains what's happening on screen to a visually impaired viewer. So that while they're listening to the dialogue, they're also getting a description of the actual scene.
The time and place and all of that.
Yes, yes. And mm-hmm. and the people, the characters, what are you seeing on screen? The scenery, the scenario. Wow. So all of that, the entire screenplay basically plays out for them. Then we're also doing a lot of other stuff now, like we're producing audio dramas, audio web series. We're recording audio books. For, you know, all the audio apps that are coming out. So there's a lot of work actually in the localization space now and a lot of allied services that we're getting into gradually. So we're kind of increasing our scope of services as we go along. And we're also expanding into different territories, into different Indian languages. I always tell people, you know, Europe has so much of dubbing going on. They are the 150-year-old dubbing legacy.
Right.
India may not be as old in terms of language dubbing or language versioning, but we are as big as Europe by ourselves because, you know, we have, I think, 20 or 25 official languages and we are dubbing easily in 6 or 7 languages. So, which is, I mean, just the country itself is the size of Europe if you look at the localization market.
Absolutely. I can recall you dubbing, obviously, Hindi and English.
They so, go there's into English, Hindi,
Tamil.
Which is across the board.
Correct.
Then Tamil and Telugu are very huge markets. Kannada and Malayalam are catching up.
Right.
And now Bengali and Marathi have become so prominent.
Wow.
And soon to follow will be Punjabi, Gujarati, Uriya, Assamese. So, I think, and you know, even languages like Haryanvi, Chhattisgarhi,
Bhojpuri,
we had dubbed Spider-Man in Bhojpuri.
Oh, yeah.
We had dubbed Die Hard in Punjabi.
Oh, wow.
I remember.
We got some WhatsApp forwards and they sound very cute. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've done, I mean, the one-off film has been done in many languages, but across the board, it's usually English, Hindi, Tamil, Telugu, and the other languages are catching on really fast. As you can see, a lot of the OTT players today, whether it's Hotstar, whether it's Sony Live, whether it's Z5,
Amazon Prime,
many of them are available in at least 6 or 7 languages.
Right. In fact, Z5, I remember when they launched it, they said they would be coming out with around 11 languages in which people could, you know, those who are not literate, for instance, or can't write.
Yes.
Okay. They will just speak into it in their language and say ki mujhe ye dekhna hai. And they would get choices.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So voice.
That's a fantastic form of localization also.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
Where you're giving everybody access.
Correct.
You know, across, there's no language barrier.
Right. This voice services have democratized the entire access to everybody, no?
Yes.
Made it very easy and smooth.
Yes.
Superb. Okay, so you've done so much stellar, amazing work, right? So, and you can't keep getting film after film to total 1600 plus to do 27,000 hours of dubbing and so much more similarly across different verticals of work unless you are fabulous at what you do. So I want to know from you, Mona, and don't be self-effacing about it, but tell me, what does SVI, Sound and Vision India, bring to the creative and technical table that has helped it remain ahead of the pack, keep it as an industry leader for 28, 30 years now?
You know, I think we're pretty much at the cutting edge of, the industry at the moment. We try to stay ahead. I don't know of who, but we just try to stay ahead of everybody in the space. I don't think it's a conscious effort to really stay ahead of anyone. I think it's a conscious effort to have international best practices and make sure that you are at par with anybody in the business. So that, you know, people take you seriously. People understand that you are committed to content security, that you are committed to technical excellence, that you are committed to creative excellence, that you have professional project management, you have a lot of compliance. You know, there is a tremendous infrastructure around the work that you do that really makes you a solid force to reckon with. So in that sense, I think that's what we've been working towards very consciously. It's not about competition or anything like that. It's just about being recognized for who you are and what you do, and being taken seriously as somebody who takes their work very seriously and knows what is required of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you've proven that across from concept to delivery. Wonderful. And well, you are competing only with your own standards, Mona. And you've kept on doing that and raising them.
I think that's what we need to do. We need to set our own standards and be proud of what we do at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, no numbers, unfortunately, in India for the, you know, the voice, sound, vision, this allied
space. Yeah, everybody asks me this question, you know. If I ask people, somebody will say 100 crores, somebody will say 1,000 crores. Who knows? I would peg it at maybe 200 to 300 crores. It's growing at an alarming speed, Pawan. I doubt if anybody would have a realistic estimate.
I don't think you want to use the word alarming. You want to say exhilarating speed.
Exhilarating. Yes, it is exhilarating for all of us. Definitely.
All right. So we won't go there because really it's all about guesstimates and all of that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if there is a way to even know really. I think a conservative estimate would be 200 to 300 crores.
Right. And the lockdown.
Yeah.
How has that helped the adoption of virtual collaborations and recordings across the voice industry?
Helped is a debatable word, but it has definitely accelerated it. Because until now, we were shying away from any remote working because of the difficulties that internet connections pose. So many difficulties, but definitely with everybody sitting at home for over 2 months, it became a necessity. So we spent the first 2 weeks moping around thinking that, okay, the first 2 weeks of the lockdown, well, I think the first week everybody was like, yay, we have a holiday.
Good Lord.
Because, you know, localization can be very punishing in terms of the kind of the rigor of the business.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's very rigorous. It's very, the work-life balance is very skewed. Everybody listening to us will agree. So yeah, initially we were all in absolute, you know, in a joyful mood that you get some time off with family. And then the week after we were like, so where are we going with this? And then the week after you were like, it doesn't look like this is going away anytime soon.
Like those three vultures in the Jungle Book.
So, you know, week after week, kind of the realization started dawning on us that I don't think we can sit around like this and just be paying salaries because there's nobody paying you to pay those salaries. So what do you do for your people? What do you do for the industry? What do you do to for your clients? What do you do to put yourself back on track was the big question. And I think my team, after their initial holiday, were all charged and excited to figure out, okay, let's figure some solutions. You know, technology is exciting, right? So, and it has so many opportunities and options to offer that all our engineers and our dubbing directors and everybody just, you know, swung into action. They started testing all kinds of solutions and, you know, demoing all kinds of
remote platforms,
yes. And we finally found some solutions that worked for us. And then we, Elizabeth from my
marketing team.
PR, I wouldn't say marketing because we don't do any marketing really. But yeah.
Obviously, you won't. I mean, people queue up to your door. You don't need to market, touch wood.
So yeah, touch wood is really the word. Yeah, so she started a campaign on social media to educate people about their opportunities, the opportunities to work from home, how they can set themselves up, how they can set up home studios, and, you know, right from talking about what is the equipment you need to what is the kind of environment you need to create, what kind of internet speeds you need, everything. My engineers have spent days and weeks and months just helping voice actors on the phone to set up their home studios and to test them and to make sure that they're working, they're sounding all right. And this was a huge test of patience and endurance because, you know, right from internet connections to background noise to instability to the number of people in each home to, you know, the limited resources one has to really, in terms of equipment or in terms of acoustics, everything posed a challenge. It was amazing that we overcame that. And I think by the mid of May, just before the lockdown eased up, we were recording online. From 1st May, we started our social media campaign. You know, couriers were stopped at that time, so nobody could buy equipment. So by the mid of May is when it started opening up and deliveries were allowed. And we actually had one of our engineers who, I don't know, had a press card or something. And he said, okay, I can go out. I'm allowed to go out. He went from picking up machines from Worli, delivering them right from Churchgate to Vasai and Virar. He has delivered them personally.
See how you enabled and empowered the entire voice creative ecosystem here, man. Amazing. That's also your way of giving back. Sure, it was probably also to help yourselves find your feet and get production going.
Oh, absolutely.
But
for
it
everybody,
was a lot of effort.
So we bought machines for all our staff to work from home because until now, content security demanded that nobody do anything from home ever.
Right.
It demanded exactly the opposite of what was required after the pandemic struck. And now we had to break all those norms, speak to clients, figure out new SOPs for content security and get new approvals for content security. We had to build in also a lot of new features. So we, you know, started subscribing to platforms who provide extreme content security for movement of content, you know, for delivery of content, encryption, decryption, all of those kind of facilities we availed. So we went to a huge cost, I think, to set up all of this. Time and cost was huge, but I think the way it enabled us really prepared us for the second lockdown. We weren't panicking anymore.
Wonderful.
Know, and that was huge, and especially for the voice actors who had elderly people at home or small children at home who were not keen to step out into the studios even after the lockdown eased up. This was a huge boon because they could still work, they could still earn some money, they could still make a living working from home.
Wonderful, Mona. Wonderful. Really, really good stuff. You send out good things, they come back threefold. Wonderful. So, Mona...
I firmly believe that, by the way,
yes,
Pavan.
Absolutely.
There's no denying that.
Yeah. And you know, Mona, I was told by a lot of people when I was growing up, when I was a kid, that if you send something negative, it comes back 9 times. Send something good, it comes back 3 times. Better send out good stuff. And you did that.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think it's the other way around.
Whatever, as long as good comes back and you send out good, that's all that's important. Mona, how well is the voice industry represented in India? I don't see too much happening, but yes, there was this massive event that happened, the 7-day thing.
Oh yes, my dear friend Darpan Mehta.
Yes, Sugar Media's
leading voice actor, leading voice artist, voiceover. He's been the voice of many TV channels and you know, leading events. This was his brainchild, the India Voice Fest. And he came up with this idea, and his team at Sugar Media's is amazing. You know, his operations head, Kiran, and the entire team is amazing. And Darpan himself is so warm and, you know, forthcoming with that. When he came to me with this idea that, you know, I'm planning to do this, I said, I'm going to back you 100%. I was.
And you did. You were there across several days talking to them on the last day also.
And this has been 4 years that we've been backing them as the main partner.
Wonderful.
So I think I'm very proud of what he's done, and I'm very proud of being associated with such an effort. It's growing slowly but surely.
Yeah.
And it's really bringing the industry together. Everybody looks forward to it.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping, and I'm trying to work with him to make it accessible to more people. Again,
excellent.
Break the language barrier.
Yeah.
And, you know, not keep it restricted to English and Hindi. I wanted to go out to other territories, other regions, you know, across languages. So I'm hoping that we can make that happen soon. But it's a great coming together. And what started out as a one-day fest in 2018...
I think it's the world's biggest now. 7 days.
Has today become a seven-day fest. And we still can't have enough of it. In fact, when it was first held in person, offline, live.
Oh, yeah.
It was a one-day event. And the first event had 200 people attending.
Okay.
It was a small hall where we had organized it.
Yeah, okay.
And as of last year, I think we had 4,000 or 5,000 people attending online. So the pandemic was a boon for the India Voice Fest, definitely.
Okay.
Because it
okay.
became... When it went online, it became accessible to so many more people, and geography was no longer of any importance.
Absolutely. And this year too, then I think the number is the same, or it's exceeded that.
The kind of eyeballs it gets is amazing.
Absolutely. So Mona, let's now talk about, you know, from the industry, let's go to the voices. All the talent, whether it's in voice or tech or direction or creative or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What are the avenues of opportunity of, you know,
for
a
voice
career
actor?
For a voice artist?
So, you know, you hear voices everywhere today. You pick up a phone, you hear voices, that's an IVR. Yeah. Then you go online, you hear voices. There are viral ads. There are voiceovers on television promos, on television channels.
Right.
There are character voices. There are voiceovers. So in films, in television, on radio, there are RJs. There are podcasters like yourself. And let me congratulate you for your win at the India Voice Fest.
Thank
as a
you.
Leading podcaster.
Thank you.
Yeah, you made a fantastic debut, I must say, at the India Voice Fest.
In the world's biggest one, no less.
Yeah. So, you know, the voice can be used pretty much anywhere. Nowadays, there's e-learning projects. There's audiovisuals, there's documentaries. There are audiobooks, there are audio dramas. You know, there are announcements at railway stations, at airports. These are all voices at the end of the day. You know, some of them may be doing a job, a full-time job. But, you know, they all of them are using their voice really to communicate to a large number of people. So the avenues are many. And all of this that I talked about, again, happens in multiple languages.
Absolutely.
So the opportunities are many in each and every language. So I think the most important training that an individual can take, or, you know, the way to work on yourself to be a professional voice artist is, first of all, to learn to speak clearly, loud and clear. Make sure you're able to enunciate each and every word.
Yes.
You know, not eat up words. So clarity of communication. And then comes the variety of communication.
Right.
You know, what kind, how, in how many different ways you can communicate the same thing. And what are the different ways of communication for different genres, different mediums, different kinds of work that you do. You know, so whether you're playing a character, whether you're doing a voiceover, whether you're making an announcement, whether you're reading an audiobook, whether, you know, you're in a drama, is it fact or is it fiction? And also one very interesting little bit of data I'll give you is that we think we're training voices. 99% of the time, we're actually training people to read well. Because, you know,
don't let your voice peter down, don't let it drop.
No, you know, just to be able to read off a piece of paper without fumbling and stumbling and stuttering, and to be able to read clearly with the right pausing and phrasing to make your words very clearly understood, to communicate effectively is what is most important, and to own the words that are written, because most of the time for a voice artist, you haven't written those words. They're someone else's words, but you have to own them.
Right.
And you have to make the most of them, and you have to, I like to say always that you have to make magic with words.
Wow.
You have to bring them to life, and you have to make them sparkle, and you have to make people want to listen to you. And want to hear everything you say, and they have to be like, you know, pearls coming out of your mouth.
What you just did, what you just did has conjured up the effervescence of converting and owning somebody else's written words, you know, indirectly,
yes.
Somebody's thoughts through a reading of the words,
yes.
Wrapping your mind and heart around it,
yes.
And then sort of...
interpreting also the writer's thoughts, the mood that the writer wants to create.
Wow.
All of that, you know, being able to convey it in the right spirit.
Wonderful, wonderful, Mona.
Is the job of the voice artist, really.
Right, and so it's really first just get fluent, get smooth, no speed breakers and bumps.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And then internalize the thought of the words and bring them out.
Absolutely.
With just the right amount of sensitivity and the right amount of presence. And do you have to be soft or heavy? Or
yes. My God. Yes, there's a lot. Really, if you really want to break it down and get down to the brass tacks, there's a lot of detailing that you can get into.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what are the avenues for training that, you know, people have? It's a bit of a disorganized space.
Oh, it
you
is,
know?
Absolutely.
The but whole I know that you all do a lot of good stuff, you know. But tell me first about the space and then what you all are doing. Sorry.
So there are a lot of senior voice artists who have started training.
Hmm.
And all of us, we have our own ways, each one different.
Yeah.
What we do is we run a beginner's workshop, which is a weekend workshop.
This is Sound and Vision India.
Yes.
Hmm.
We advertise it across all our social media handles, so it's easy to know when the next one is coming up.
Hmm.
We usually do one a month because I don't believe in doing tons of training and putting a lot of people out there who don't know how to get work, because we are in a disorganized industry.
Right.
And for people to find work is difficult.
Hmm.
So I'm not really a great fan of training hordes and hordes of people to do nothing, actually.
Right.
You know, I want to be able to pick and choose and be able to nurture talent as far as possible.
Right. So suppose it's my daughter or my neighbor or somebody wants to come and learn.
Yeah.
Is it like, okay, come in, we're not going to shortlist you or whatever.
Yes.
Do you shortlist them?
No.
They just walk in?
Okay. Because, you know, there is there's a world of difference between not knowing what is expected of you and knowing what is expected of you. How am I going to shortlist someone who doesn't even know what is expected of them?
Okay. No, right? I thought just in terms of the quality of the
I
voice.
I have done
or whatever.
It for a few institutions that have had limited seats.
Okay.
So I have, when I've taught at other institutions, colleges and universities, we have had shortlisting.
Okay.
But that's because it's a course that's giving you a certificate and giving you a...
And trying to make you employable end of the day.
Yes. But our beginner's course is like a taster.
Lovely.
You know? So it's like... Just, you know, almost everybody I meet, Pavan, has this little thing inside them that makes them say, so what do you think of my voice? Do you think I could be a voice artist?
So sweet.
Isn't that true?
Yeah, it's true.
I think anybody, they're a corporate a worker, whether they are head of a company, whether they are a housewife, whether they are a... In any field, first of all, you need to be well-spoken to move ahead in life, you know.
Right.
So I think that speaking skills are important for anyone, whether you want to be a voice actor or not, first of all. And then I think there is also this little hidden ambition hidden excitement to know what would I sound like on a microphone. What does my voice sound like? I just want to hear what I sound like. Can I come in and try my voice out? Would you try me out? I've heard this so much coming from people who know absolutely nothing about our work that I felt it necessary to have a taster. You know, where you first come and explore our world, you know, right. Understand what it's all about, understand what it means to be a voice actor, understand what it takes to be a voice actor, understand what is expected of you. And what we achieve in those 2 days is this level of awareness where you know that if I want to go for a voice audition, I know what to do. Right. That's all we are preparing you for. You learn what your strengths are. You learn what your weaknesses are. You learn to build on your strengths and to attack your weaknesses. You learn how to train yourself going forward so that you don't always need a trainer to train you. You learn to differentiate between good and bad, right and wrong, and kind of be able to hear. You know, you're training your ear as much as you're training your voice. So you're training yourself to read. You're training yourself to speak and you're training yourself to listen, which is very important, and be able to understand what is it that I want to do, you know, where do I want to place myself in this market? Do I see myself doing any of these things? And if so, how can I get better at it? What do I do? And if I want to go and approach someone, if I want to come and say, you know, Pavan, you're doing this wonderful podcast. Can I come and assist you? Can I do some little podcasts under your banner? Then at least I know how to face a mic. I know what is expected of me. I know that I have to speak up. I know that I have to speak slowly. I know that I have to speak clearly.
Conversationally.
Some level of awareness. Yeah, you know? So I think that taster is important for people to first figure out, is this just an excitement or is there more to it for me as an individual?
Absolutely.
And then you have a trainer, of course, who's giving you feedback. So that's invaluable. Feedback coming from an experienced person. And you're coming, you know, to the best of studios. You have the best of facilities at your disposal.
Right.
So, you know, every way of exploring that facet of you, is that every opportunity is given to you. At that taster, and then you can decide whether you want to take it forward or not.
Excellent. So as I understand, this special once a month course or once a month 2 day session workshop is actually at the last week of the month, right? More often than
usually not. Elizabeth will put it on our social media handles, because it depends on the availability of the trainer. Right now it is run by Mr. Pathy Iyer, who is an actor, a screenplay writer, a voice artist in his own right, and he's a working professional, so we have to give him his space in terms of his availability.
Right.
Usually we try to do it at the end of the month.
Okay.
Any one weekend in the month.
Right. So your once a month workshop is really amazing. It's a wonderful thought and a good opportunity for anybody who wants to see, do I have it in me or not? Am I cut out for this or not? What does the space require? Will I be able to match? Is there a nice meeting ground?
Yes.
Apart from that, generally per se, what qualities or talent must anyone who wants to train as a voice talent have?
The interest to learn and the ability to read. You have to be a sponge when you come for this workshop. You have to be able to absorb everything you see and you hear. And you have to be able to read. Otherwise, you'd be wasting your time. So the only preparation, the only prep that I tell people to do before they come for the workshop is read aloud as much as you can. Because you would be stunned at the difference between reading to yourself in your mind and reading aloud. You'd be stunned to see the difference of your speed and your ability to read without fumbling and, you know,
and on a nice even
missing
kind of
words
key,
and you know, reading something wrong, misreading something. And you know, something very interesting, Pavan, that you said was the thought behind starting these workshops is everybody we knew would come and say, hey, I want to try my voice. Can I come and try to dub? Now, unfortunately, you know, these Studio infrastructure is very expensive.
Yeah.
And our time is at a premium.
It's gold, yes.
Yeah. So during the work process, it is very difficult now, today, for us to try out people. Back in the day, that's what I used to do. I used to audition people for my mom.
Yes.
You know, I used to audition people and we used to pay them to come audition for us.
Okay.
We used to pay conveyance. I used to pay people 500 rupees to come and audition for us.
Right.
Irrespective of whether they were good or bad or anything, without knowing anything about them. But in today's day and age, it has become extremely difficult to do that. So I think that a voice workshop is an interesting meeting ground for voices who want to work with us or who want to explore whether they have the talent for it or not. And for us also to discover people.
Right.
And to discover interesting voices, interesting talents, varied abilities, you know, different people coming from different backgrounds with different accents, knowing different languages. You know, regional accents have also become so important now.
Right.
Regional languages. So the workshop, of course, is conducted in English and Hindi, but it is tailored to anybody who reads a language fluently. As long as you can read your language, you can perform in that language.
Excellent.
And everybody should know that you should always start from a language that you know well.
Right.
It's important to be able to read and to be able to pronounce words clearly and to be to have enough knowledge of the grammar and the pronunciations in your language. And then you can be good at voicing in any language. It's not just about English and Hindi.
Right. After being smart and practiced and, you know, seamless in your delivery, then the feel also gets...
Then you learn to bring in emotion. You learn to bring in a lot of different aspects to the delivery. Yes.
Right. So do you also give... you also give them some voice exercises and things to do and discipline themselves. So go home and, you know.
Yes. Because it's a two-day workshop. We want to leave you with stuff that will last you a lifetime. You know.
Wow.
So the ability, I think a lot of people find the ability to train themselves after doing our workshop.
Nice.
Some, of course, want to come back for more, for advanced workshops, etc. But I think that's a... slightly lazy approach in the sense that you want to be spoon-fed, whereas there is so much of content out there today to learn from, you know, that if you choose to be a little disciplined and do it yourself, you can do it yourself. And you are a standing example of that. I can't say the same because I've had a lot of exposure. So I've had a lot of opportunity to be a fly on the wall, watching the greats of our industry do what they do. And that has been my learning ground. So we can't give those opportunities to everybody anymore in the world of content security.
That's
you know?
True.
Since you can't be a fly on the wall anymore, this is the next best thing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so you also have the advanced workshop available. And has your weekend workshop, the first one, has it ever given you, you know, pointed you at some good talent that
amazing
you probably...
amazing talent.
And they're working with you?
Oh, yes.
Wonderful.
But you have to understand that people come with varying abilities. And as a weekend workshop, we can only offer them that training and the opportunity to sign up with us. But as a localization service provider, I have to deliver the best to my clients.
Oh, yes.
So the objectives are so different that my objective cannot be that I have to try and give work to people or I have to try and absorb people from my workshop. That cannot be the objective.
Right.
You know, so the two objectives, and people have to understand this because sometimes people get upset that, oh, I did a workshop with you, but I didn't get any work after that. Whether you get work or not from me or from anybody else depends entirely on your talent and your effort. So you have to get out there and, you know, create your voice samples and, you know, convey to the world. Like they say about advertising, you know, there's no point having a product that no one knows about.
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. It's the same about your voicing talent, that, you know, there's no point if you can't really put the word out there and convey to people and make people aware that, you know, I have this talent and I'd like to use it professionally. And start off in whatever small way possible. And back in the day, I would tell people, you know, give yourself a year, you'll find your foothold. But now I say give yourself 5 years. Hang in there.
So,
because it's so difficult to break through the crowd, right?
And absolutely. And that brings me to my next question, actually. How should voice talent pitch or sell their talent and availability to producers, etc.? First, like you said, go ahead and tell the world, show the world about your, you know, voice samples, etc. But is there a slightly more organized way of doing this?
Yes, I'm hoping that I should have that solution available to everybody very soon.
Oh, really?
Yes, because we did come up with an app that would do that. It would be a voice marketplace. Unfortunately, it didn't take off very well because the app was not designed very well. But we're redoing that. So
you've gone back to the drawing board.
Yes,
great.
We've gone back to the drawing board and hopefully we should have some kind of a solution in place.
When do we expect that?
I don't want to answer that question because I feel like I'm jinxed every time I answer that question.
Okay.
And it's just evading me.
Okay, let it come when it
that
will.
That elusive app that I have been designing for the last 100 years.
But great, this is great news and I'm so glad that you're doing this because it's going to help everybody.
Yes, that's the idea. That's also why we don't train too many people at a time because we want to do that only when we can actually offer them a platform to showcase their abilities.
Excellent.
And
so
their
logical.
Talent. Yes. Wow. There's no point in going on training people if they have nowhere to go. Because right now, as it stands, you have to keep creating your own voice samples. You have to keep bettering them. You have to keep updating them. You have to show a variety of skill in different languages.
Right.
You know, keep on creating demos, passing them around to people, showcasing them on social media. I mean, what can I say? How many people can actually keep on receiving voice samples? Anybody who is in a position to cast or decide, how many voice samples can they receive and listen to?
As long as they know that there is one destination they can go and check out.
Yes.
It's all there. It's in categories. It's in age. It's in voice. It's in language.
Exactly.
Oh my God, all the moods and everything. Am I coming somewhere near your drawing board?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Locations and my God, what not.
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. So over all these years, Mona, I know you guys don't keep these numbers, but how many people, professionals, would you have actually given, you know, breaks to, chances to work to, or trained?
I don't know. I started training people in 2010 officially. Before that, I think since...
You used to train every voice actor who came. Every one of them. Whether it was The Young and the Restless or the others that we dubbed and we launched in India on CNS TV.
Unofficially, maybe hundreds, I don't know. Because, you know, when you're a dubbing director, when you're casting or when you're auditioning or when you're directing, you're in effect training people.
Absolutely.
Because you're teaching them what to do, how to do it, what to say, how to say. So, I think you knowingly or unknowingly end up training people. So, that's happened since, I would say, 1993, since I started working and assisting my mother. It's been an ongoing process. But we officially, formally started training people in 2010 is when I started. My own little studio. That was my retirement plan, actually. I wasn't planning for my mom to go away and leave me with this huge workload. So that was my retirement plan, that I would do training, I would do my own voicing, and I was happy with that little piece of the pie. So that's how I started out, and I don't know, if you really go by the months since 2010, I would say even if we had 5 people a batch, just do the math.
Wow. Amazing. Really.
We try to keep the batches small so that there can be more personal attention.
Around how many to a batch?
5. Minimum 5, maximum 10.
Okay. And these are 2 full days?
2 full days. We expect you to completely devote yourselves to us. And I kind of feel that you only learn something when it's an immersive experience.
Right, absolutely.
So I like to think of it as an immersive experience, because that same 16 hours or 20 hours that we spend with you, if I did that over 20 days, I don't know if it would have the same effect.
Right, absolutely. And you need to get into this. It's a new thing for you. You're all eager, you're all agog as a trainee.
Yeah. I want you to forget everything else for those 2 days and just completely immerse yourself in what you can do with your voice.
Wonderful. One more thing, Mona. A lot of people want to do one-on-one training. You know, how does that work vis-a-vis the group trainings that you offer?
One-on-one training works. There are a lot of actors who want to come and do one-on-one training because they can't devote so much time to group training. But I honestly think you learn a lot more from group training, because also watching is a form of learning. When you're watching somebody do something wrong, you learn the don'ts.
Right.
And you're watching somebody do something right, you learn the do's.
Yes.
So, and I think the do's and don'ts can only come from experience. I can't possibly tell you every scenario that can crop up in a studio cannot be taught to you one-on-one. You have to see it, you have to watch it, you have to experience it for yourself. And I'm always trying to tell actors to have patience, sit in the studios, watch what's happening. You know, because then only will you learn to absorb different situations and the adaptability of the voice actor in those situations. You know?
Yeah.
How are they taking direction? How are they bringing, how are they understanding what is being told to them? How are they bringing, converting that into a change in their performance, in their delivery? You know, what is the role of a sound engineer? What is the role of a dubbing director? What is the role of a script writer? What is the role of the studio? What is the role of the microphone? What is the role of the headphone?
How do you use these?
How do you reuse all this equipment to your advantage? You know, how do you, what are the different instructions that fly around? How do you interpret those instructions? And how do you make yourself someone who's easy to direct, who's a pleasure to direct, and somebody who can deliver whatever they're asked for?
Perfect. Perfect. And in these groups, you know, you instead of one-on-one, one-to-one, everybody gets little demos.
Individual opportunity.
Correct.
Yes.
No, everybody also gets little demos of something that goes bad or wrong somewhere, something that goes right, like you just mentioned.
Yes. You get to see everything, because, you know, it's hard to judge yourself.
Absolutely.
It's easy to judge other people.
And correlate feedback with actually what's the performance elsewhere.
Yes. You know, because the you'll see now, if suppose there are 10 people in a class. Okay. The first one who goes on the mic will be totally unaware. Okay. The 10th person who goes on the mic has complete awareness of everything that went wrong between the first and the 10th.
Right.
And will do a far better job.
Absolutely.
Because they've completely gained from that experience.
Right. Look and learn, watch and learn.
Absolutely. They've learned, they've heard so many instructions by that time. You know, in those few hours that they waited for their turn, if they have the patience to sit and watch, they would have gained so much from that. They'll say, oh yeah, I know what they did wrong. Oh, I know what I should do and what I shouldn't do. And that's very important to know.
Absolutely. Perfect. Wonderful, Mona. Last question, okay? What are your own personal values and beliefs that help you to shine like you do every single day? What keeps you going?
You know, I think I keep using this word abundantly, but I think it's the pursuit of excellence that keeps me going. I think even if I have a little bit of an OCD, I want to be a perfectionist in everything that I do. And that's probably what drives me. So even if you ask me to cook today, and if I don't know how to cook, I want to learn and do the best that I can and make the most of the situation. So, and you know, that's the way I approach my work, that, you know, if you're doing something, why not be the best at it?
Sure.
Why not try to be the best at it? Whether you are or not, it's open to debate. But At least make the effort.
Yeah, the nature of your work and the platform on which it is amplified literally.
Yes.
Leaves not even a single speck or even three frames of doubt.
Yeah. And you know, I like to be my harshest critic. I like to be the judge of my own work.
Mm.
And I like to think, okay, if I were to critique this, how would I critique it?
Mm-hmm.
If I were to judge this, how would I judge it? And if I were to better this, how would I better it? Is, I think, what we need to constantly drive ourselves to.
That really is a cut and keep, actually, if you ask me, for anybody who's listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Very nice. Okay, I listed a lot of actresses that you've voiced, you know, dubbed for. So, which is the one voice that comes to you like that in a snap?
I don't know. That's hard to say because I've dubbed for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been one to really mimic a voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't claim to match any voice perfectly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not a skill that I sell or am really inclined towards.
Mm.
But what I am inclined towards is a great performance. And, you know, having great opportunities to perform and to showcase my skills or to explore more, you know, of the skill that we have.
Don't mention an actress, mention a performance that really stood out for you. And you being the perfectionist that you are, you know, a no-compromise perfectionist. You've done so many movies and so many actresses who've starred in them. So just maybe name the actress in the movie, perhaps, which is more of a bit of a better favorite.
Well, there's many. Like I, in the early stages of my career, it was a treat to dub for Kajol because of her performances and the variety of her performances. So
which movies?
I did parts of Dushman.
Mm-hmm.
I did tiny bit in Ishq. I did something else. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I've dubbed for her very little. Mm-hmm. But again, she's a pleasure to dub for. Rani was a pleasure to dub for because these are good actresses.
Mm-hmm.
Bipasha in Jism was very good to dub for.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that was a role that was outside my comfort zone and kind of helped, you know, led to a lot of exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, initially I was always doing these young, cute, bubbly, the stereotypical roles.
Mm. Mm.
And this kind of broke out of that and kind of I had to pitch my voice differently, portray my voice differently.
Smoldering
and
lady.
Completely break out of this cutesy zone into a woman zone.
Right.
And that switch is not easy because in your head, you're just repetitively doing the same thing over and over again. Mm. So that switch was very difficult.
Mm.
Amisha's performance in Kahona Pyar Hai was greatly appreciated.
Mm.
Deepika's dub in Om Shanti Om was greatly appreciated. Nargis's dub for Rockstar was one of the most difficult for me. Because of the kind of role it was, very demanding role.
Mm.
And her challenge with the language were kind of difficult to work on. Among the English films, I mean, it's been an honor and a privilege to dub for some of the great, really great actresses. I used to love dubbing for Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, my favorite.
I've dubbed a lot for Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, wow.
Like, I remember during Pearl Harbor, when we were dubbing that film, it was so easy for me to just watch a scene and just effortlessly start crying, really start crying. And
oh,
I would sometimes tell the guys, just please don't give me any instructions, I'm already crying, I just want to keep it going around, can you just take quickly before I stop crying? so I know that
so
you know
amazing.
Because I think as a person also you have to have that little emotional connect.
Yes,
you know, sometimes to a scene or to a role and something that really draws out the emotions.
Mm.
Recently, after a very, very long time, I mean, I've hardly been dubbing, but after a very long time, I got the opportunity to dub for the character of Eileen Palmer in Shujit Sarkar's film Sardar Uddham. And because, you know, it was an English performance and it had to be dubbed in Hindi. And the best compliment I got was from Shujit himself that said, have you fallen in love with Vicky because you've done this with so much conviction that it, that I can't, you know, it's hard to, I feel like you've really fallen in love with him. It's sounding like that. So that those kind of little, you know.
You know, you put your heart into it, not just as an artist, but as a human being also. I think that gets you going also, right? Because you emotionally respond. Because you have to get under the skin of the character you sort of empathize with the character, into their shoes.
Yes, yes.
And suddenly you kind of, I'm sure you must transform into...
Totally. I think the way I approach my work is I want to feel everything at that moment that the actor is feeling or that character is feeling.
Hmm.
And in trying to actually feel those things...
Hmm.
You pretty much live that character very genuinely.
Hmm.
And I think that genuinity shows in the output.
Right.
In the performance. And without that, I don't think you can fake it. You have to feel it to make the listener believe it.
Hmm. And you do it so brilliantly well, Mona. Whether you are dubbing for an actor... or whether you're ensuring that whatever output comes out from your Sound and Vision India is absolutely immaculate, flawless, no compromises, absolutely. And I have seen and experienced that, and I truly thrill to the excellence that you deliver every day. So thank you very much for really doing amazingly great work. And my God, I'm falling short of superlatives here. But I'm conscious about the words that I use and these come automatically.
Thank you so much for all this praise. I mean, I'd like to think that this is everything that you said is what we work towards. That's definitely
absolutely,
the effort.
Absolutely.
And I hope we can just get better and better at it. There's no end to learning and improving.
I'm waiting to see you take the standards even higher. But more strength to you. Godspeed and God bless, Mona.
Thank you so much, Pavan.
So, Mona, I have truly enjoyed this conversation.
Me too.
A lot of insights.
We've touched upon a lot of topics that I don't often get to talk about. I'm always talking about the past and past laurels, but it's important to know about the future, what the future holds for you.
Wonderful, Mona. Thank you so very, very much for all the insights. I, as I said, I enjoyed this conversation. Any thoughts on our little chat so far?
No, I think, Pavan, the way you've designed this is fabulous. And thank you for featuring us in The Master's Voice on your website, Media Brief. I think you're doing some amazing work. And it's very interesting to be able to be on the same platform as so many industry leaders and to be able to talk about our work and build that awareness in our own little way. And thank you for helping us with that.
Mona, I can tell you this, that with your inclusion today, the profile of The Master's Voice has actually gone up a little more. With all due respect to the wonderful professionals who've been there, and they will agree with me in one voice. Right? So, thank you ever, ever so much.
Thank you so much, Pavan.
Mona Shetty, President Sound and Vision India, was my distinguished guest in this episode of The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com. I hope and I'm sure everybody who's in the business of creating engagements that empower businesses by using voice and everything else around it would have found this beneficial. Till we meet again in the next episode of The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com, this is your host and friend Pavan R. Chawla saying thank you for tuning in. Take care. Stay safe. Bye-bye. Well, you know.